Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the Pulitzer Prize-winning humor writer Dave Barry, who's out with his new book, Lessons from Lucy, The Simple Joys of an Old Happy Dog. Dave, for about a 10-year span, I had three Shih Tzus, and I assigned each of them personalities. One was a Union Democrat, one was a flag-waving Republican, and one was a rebellious youngster who didn't care about politics, and I would interact with them based on these traits. Did you ever assign Lucy or any of your other dogs over the years particular human-like personalities?
No, I don't. I'm amazed that you could see that much in your dogs. Lucy doesn't really have political views that I know of. Her main concern upon meeting any human being is how that person smells, and that pretty much begins and ends Lucy's examination. And then she decides whatever way the person smells, she loves that person very much.
Well, what kind of dog is she?
I actually did that DNA test thing you do, and everybody assumed she was some kind of a retriever. She's a large, she's like 80-pound black dog. But in fact, the DNA showed that she was, half boxer, a quarter Dalmatian, a quarter Chow Chow, and a quarter Retriever. So she is a purebred Boxmation Chow Retriever. I don't know what she is. She's nice. She's a very nice dog.
But she was a rescue dog, though, right?
Correct. She was rescued from an organization in Miami where I live. And my daughter picked her out on the internet. And we were looking at all these little cute puppy pictures. And we said, do you want a puppy, Sophie? And Sophie kept going back to this one picture. And Lucy was jet black. So the photograph of her, you really do not see a dog. You see these two eyes, which are glowing red. It looks like this kind of demon. And the description said, couldn't be nicer if she tried, never tries to take the other dog's food. And so Sophie, my daughter, fell in love with this blob with these glowing orbs and said, that's the one I want because she's nice. We, with some trepidation, went to see this dog, and we said, okay, so if we're going to see the dog, but that doesn't mean we're deciding on this dog. And, of course, the instant they saw each other, they were madly in love. Lucy was on her back, and so he was climbing all over. So that was that, and Lucy adopted us.
Well, you wrote this book, and it tracks along the fact that you're now in your 70s, early 70s,
yes,
but nonetheless 70s. And so you're on the back nine of life, let's face it. So when you take these lessons from Lucy, a lot of them are obvious truths, letting go of anger, making new friends, things like that. They should be obvious, but they're not. Why do we as humans fail to realize these things that should be so obvious to us?
It's weird. The difference, you're absolutely correct, first of all. Every single thing in this book, everybody already knows. You do know that you should keep having fun. You do know that you should let go of your anger. You do know that you should appreciate the people around you. But we get so busy, though, as time goes by with our careers and our jobs, and then we get into our phones and, politics and Twitter, and after a while, we're just completely ignoring all the simple things that bring joy to us. And dogs don't do that. They're either because they're limited or because they're smarter than we are. They don't do any of those things. Lucy today, my dog, like I said, I'm 71 now. She's 11, so we're both old. But she still, likes to play. Like, it never occurs to her, oh, I'm too old now to chase the ball. She still wants to chase the ball. That's still fun for her. So she still does it. She still wants to meet new people, everybody she sees. Whereas I get to be kind of old and crotchety. I don't need any more friends. I don't even like the friends I already have, So it's really more a matter of unlearning a lot of stuff that doesn't help and going back to stuff that works, that's simple, that kids know, that dogs know, that we forget as grown.
Well, some of the things you write in the book about friendship, and it really stuck out to me, the difference between how men are friends with other men versus how women are friends with other women. That's an observation that I read it and I thought, yeah, you're right. What is it about the way that men treat each other? It seems so, it's not very deep. We'll talk about football, right? Whereas women will talk about big things.
I say in the book that I think the whole reason that we have sports is so that men have something to talk about besides their own feelings. It's true. We men we're not great. Most of us. It's a generalization, obviously, but most of us are just not that good at talking about how we feel, what we think. Whereas women are really good at it. And like my wife, she can see somebody she knows, and they'll talk for an hour, and then they'll be apart for say another hour, and then they'll come back together for an hour, And in the next hour, they can spend like 2 hours talking about what happened. They just have lots to talk about. And with me, I could see a friend I haven't seen in 20 years, and we're completely caught up in about 30 seconds. and then we have to talk about sports just so we have something to talk about.
Well, you know, you talk about not making new friends and all that. You do have close friends. You officiated the wedding of Scott Turow a year or two ago. And that's something a close friend does, right?
Yeah, I was very honored to be chosen to do that. Still not sure Scott's wedding is legal. but it was a lot of fun. Both Scott and I, the friends that I formed in later years, almost all have come through the fact that I'm in a rock band of authors called the Rock Bottom Remainders. And it's one of these things that I urge people to do in the book, which is go out and do something that's kind of out of character and that's fun. Forget whether it's dignified or appropriate for your age. Just go have fun. And we're a terrible band. I should stress that we play our genre. We call it hard listening music. But we've all become really good friends with authors. Mostly we sit in our rooms and type on our computers. It's kind of a lonely existence, and here we are getting together on stage and doing old rock songs terribly, but really having fun doing it. So Scott and I have bonded over that experience, and that's, I guess, why I got to be the officiant at his wedding.
And you're playing in Minneapolis next month.
The band is getting together. It's not like there's any great demand for this band, but we are getting together at the, I think it's called Wordplay, which is a literary festival they're starting up in Minneapolis. And the whole band is going to be there. Stephen King, Amy Tan, Scott Turow, Ridley Pearson, Greg Iles, Mitch Albom, Roy Blunt Jr. It's going to be terrible, but in a fun way, I hope.
Well, I talked to Greg Iles about a month ago, and he said you have a rule that nobody's supposed to talk about writing, but that gets broken almost immediately, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, when you're an author, the one thing you don't do is, like, the question every author gets asked and sooner or later is, where do you get your ideas? Which it becomes sort of funny after a while because nobody really knows where you get your ideas, and you just get asked it all the time. But so we will occasionally say something like that to each other just as a joke. But for the most part, we don't really talk about writing that much. We try to talk about our lives because, you know, we already know what it's like to be a writer. We're just trying to be friends.
Talking with Dave Barry about his new book, Lessons from Lucy, The Simple Joys of an Old Happy Dog. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Dave, we all know people who make us laugh all the time, close friends, family members, but being funny in print is a different color. Why are so few people able to master that craft?
Well, because it's really hard. No. I think it's because it's easier to do. It's easier to write without trying to be funny when you're writing. It's easier to just get thoughts down a piece of paper. When you're writing humor, you're trying to get a specific reaction from the reader, and it's really obvious when you have failed. Like if you read a column that's about, you know, what should we do about immigration, you're not really expecting going in to get any particular reaction from it. You'll agree with the author or disagree with the author, or you'll, you know, just read it. But when you see the word humor in front of an article, you think, well, I'm supposed to laugh now. And if you don't, if it doesn't work, if it fails, it's, you know, it's really obvious to you. So I think humor writers take that risk. It's kind of like stand-up comics. If you go to a comedy club and the comic gets up there and nobody laughs, clearly that person is bombed. Whereas if the person's just giving a speech, there's no way to tell. So that's the big risk with humor. You promise a result, and if you don't get it, it's obvious.
And when you're writing, though, you don't get that immediate reaction that a stand-up comedian gets either. So how tough is that?
Well, yeah, you don't. Well, it's kind of an advantage because you can't hear the people going, this isn't funny. But, you have to. You just have to learn from experience. You know, I've written humor for like 40 years now, whatever. You learn at some point what people find amusing and what they don't. And it isn't always what you think it's going to be, and you're not always going to hit. But you get a feel for what will work when people read it. The thing about written humor is you can't do things that comedians do. Like comedians can pause and emphasize, and they can use facial expressions and wave their arms. They can do a lot of things that will communicate humor. And in writing, you can't do any of those things. You have basically the words, the punctuation, the capitalization. But you have to learn to time, you know, to create timing by using words and to create space and by using words. So I hope I'm not getting boring in my answer. It's always, everybody says you should never try to talk about how you do it. My one major piece of advice to people who want to write humor is, if you have a joke and you deliver the punchline, that's the end. Don't keep going. Always end with the funny part. Don't put it in the middle somewhere.
Well, and then are you amazed over the years of doing this for four decades of what people get offended by?
They get offended by everything. I mean, if you do any kind of writing for a newspaper, but especially humor writing, you will learn that somebody will be offended by every single thing you write. There are people out there, I call them the humor impaired. And I mean, I could write a joke. It's obviously, I'll say something like, when Abraham Lincoln invented the light bulb, and I'll get letters from people saying, you know, I don't know where you get your information, Mr. Berry, but the light bulb was not invented by Abraham Lincoln. It was invented by Benjamin Franklin. You know, usually they'll be wrong too, but they don't know it, and I know it.
You know, as the 70-year-olds that are now 70 in their 70s today, they grew up in different times than the 70-year-olds from 30 years now will have grown up in. I mean, you went through...
Yeah, we are much, much younger and hipper. Yeah, we're cool. We're still cool.
Well, you lived through the racial stuff.
I think that's the delusion that we boomers, you know, we're boomers, so we think we're always going to be cool. When, of course, our kids think we're hilariously uncool. But anyway, I'm sorry, you were saying...
But all the things that you had experienced, I mean, you lived through race riots of the 60s, JFK, Vietnam, the Cold War. These kids now that are going to be 70 and 40 years grew up in the times of the digital age. They don't even know how to dial a rotary phone now. How much did your growing up in the era you did influence the way you are in your 70s now?
I think a lot. I mean, I think there was a distinct a mood and a distinct personality of our generation, especially in the late 60s, early 70s, when we were all sort of turning into adults in our own way. It really was a wildly turbulent time. The 60s, with the Vietnam War, the Civil Rights Revolution, all the things that were happening. I mean, I don't mean to compare our situation, our experience with our parents' generation, the greatest generation, the Depression and World War II folks. They went through an incredibly difficult time, much worse than what we went through. But what we went through was really genuinely scarily turbulent. I mean, I remember when there were riots going on all over major cities all over America. I remember when there were troops in the streets. We had a president assassinated and other high-level officials assassinated. And it wasn't as bad as what our parents went through, but it was pretty wild and not in a good way. And so I think now it's much calmer. I don't mean to dismiss the concerns of people today, but they're not as, I don't believe anyway, as scary or as urgent as they were for, I guess maybe the one argument people would make is, climate change is, but that the sense of immediate urgent doom for most of us was, I think, stronger back then. And I'm not sure how that affected us exactly, except for that now, when we look back, we say, well, it used to be worse. It's not so bad now. Whereas kids now, I think, are inclined to think, because, you know, we've created a world where everybody always has to be concerned about something. Kids now are inclined to look at almost everything as apocalyptic. And I think that's too bad. I mean, they're just worried a lot about things that aren't that worrisome, really. Maybe that's just guy. I'm an out of touch old person, but that's the vibe I have.
All right, the book is Lessons from Lucy: The Simple Joys of an Old Happy Dog by Dave Barry. It's available now wherever your books are sold, and you can pick up any of the numerous books Dave's written over the years and just enjoy the heck out of them. Dave, fantastic offering here. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.